Okay. This is the October 20th meeting of the Administrative Control Board for Mountain Regional Water. Welcome everyone. Is there any public input today?
There was not.
No public input. Do we need to go into executive session?
We do not. Wow.
Okay. Then we're on to the consent agenda. Is everyone okay with the meeting minutes from last month?
Yes.
Do we have a motion to approve? Or should we just approve all of them?
Oh.
Okay, and does anyone have any questions on the check register?
I have a number of questions.
Oh, okay, great.
The trench box for $12,000, is that like just one deal or?
Actually, a full set, we're getting an extension from the people. Plus two panels, four rods.
And then the City Works license for 18K, is that a yearly thing?
Annual, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Azteca.
Did we get all new caps and stuff with their new logos? No, no.
Yes.
What's the Pen of Powers and Conservation Project? Is that part of the thing where the loom of the consortium that holds them into the phone?
No, that's just our portion of, that's just the final portion of the contract we awarded them earlier this summer.
Okay. And the cost for the PFAS testing, was that something that you've already reported on, or Jason Reed stopped to report and see if here?
Yeah, no updates. Memories is good news. I guess still no detectable results in any of the groundwater sources, and we sampled everything. We have access. We can talk a little better down. I will try those stuff. Yeah, all good news.
Good, that's it.
Anyone else have any questions? I just had one. Just who would lost River Works?
Doug Harris.
Oh, Doug.
That's right.
Okay, does anyone have any other questions on the check register? And then, do we have a purchase order?
No purchase orders.
Okay. So do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. And then on the fun stuff, the work session to discuss the rate studies.
Yeah, thank you. For those anyone listening or listening to recording, my name is Aaron Montgomery, and I'm with the Public Finance. Mountain Regional Water has contracted with us through a rate study on the water rates. So the objectives of the study are shown here. It's really to pay for the needed capital improvements and repairs to the system, and that includes keeping up with inflationary costs. But the goal is also to minimize impacts to ratepayers, while also maintaining at least 180 days cash on hand and maintaining sufficient debt coverage, debt service coverage ratios. And that's just to maintain the financial.
I have a question for you. About how many of these do you do a year?
Well, rate studies probably do 25 to 30.
Okay, you do a lot of these.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes we do multiple studies. So sometimes cities need building, or I mean, not building, it's not a great study, but like sewer and water together. So I'm separating them. Yeah, that would be two. Things like that.
Right on.
So, and this is standard for just to maintain the financial health. That's kind of why we do our targets at 1 for days cash on hand, and then the debt service coverage ratio, another healthy point. And we also want to make it so that these are easy to understand, implement, and collect. So here's a big factor in our rate study is looking at the cap loss. So 2022 costs for these capital projects that are expected to happen over the next 5 years. Add it all together, it's about $28.2 million. So gotta make sure you have the funds to pay for those because they've been identified as needed. So proposed water rate increases will look like this in 2023. Those some tailored staff recommended increases in 2024, a standard 8% increase across all basin usage, and then 5% in 2025, 8% again in 2026, and then 2027, a 3% increase. So it's only increasing when you need it, and then pull back when you don't. But you see some changes there between 2024 and 2026. It's not just going to be a big increase for no reason, but 8.5, 8.3.
So is this if you're showing 8% for 2024, 5% for 2025, do you mean that the rates that were adopted this year will be increased by 8% across the board, or is this an aggregation?
For those ones, 2024 and 2025, they're just straight across. If it says one under these immediate ones, are tailored right to where it needs to get them. Any other questions on this? I don't need too quick.
No, I have other questions, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I hit it twice. Can you go back one? So cool down there. Can I go back one?
You should just be able to use the mouse wheel.
That's cool. Okay. Sorry about that. So this is what those rate increases look like if we're looking at the proposed base rates. You can see how it's increasing from 61 to 66, and then in 2024, an 8% increase to 72, 2025, 5% increase, 75, again, another 8%, 2026 to 81, and 2027 to 84. That's the residential. You can refer to this to see what the other on irrigation, industrial, construction, and fire hydrant are. But that's giving you kind of the idea of where you'll be over the next 5 years or so.
What about the regionalization water rate?
They didn't look at that because it's by contract that was already done and it ends at the end of 2025. So we already have our rate set for that water through 2025.
Good question. Thank you. All right, let's look at the usage rates now. So you can see the 8 tiers here and how they're affected moving forward. It's a pretty small amount, but you can still see that there are increases that will help pay for those capital projects and maintain financial health as we go through 2027.
Would this be easier to read if it were for 1,000 gallon pipes?
Yeah.
We could change that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make a note of that, thanks.
Dave, can you remind me how water conservation measures works in this? Because I was reading there was a statement in one of the slideshows that says that we are predicting that droughts are going to be the new norm, as opposed to anticipating or using it.
It's probably in the budget. We talked about that a little bit.
Right. The reason I'm asking is that are we generating revenue or trying to reduce usage or a little bit of each when we put those water conservation rates in place? And how does that fit on top of these rates? Is it like not in there at all?
No, well, for the rate study and kind of moving forward, we ignored 2019, which was really low because of a very wet year, and 2020, that was a really hot year. We used 2021, and then we decreased the water usage in the higher tiers because we've seen that kind of change as people, as conservation kicks in more. We're getting usage in the lower tiers more because of growth, but we're not getting as much usage in the higher tiers. So we've seen that there have been some conservation. And then kind of looking at the 2022 to 2023, you'll see that the rate increases for those lower tiers is less dramatic than the one for the higher tiers. To kind of, we know there's conservation, but we want to promote it further by also those who do go into those, let's say, excessive tiers, pay more for that water.
I'm with Karen, and I can't only remember the numbers to the left of the decimal point.
Okay. We'll fix that. But I think there, you know, if you look at 2163 as our highest tier in 2022, and now we're looking at $35 for our highest tier.
So the other thing, with the other thing that drought is there in the drought rate, usually people will stop or not use much water. So the shift is going to have to go into a base rate in order to maintain our debt service coverage and our cash on hand. Otherwise, we won't be able to predict how much revenue.
That's kind of what I'm saying, is that even with drought restrictions in place, which are, you get primarily people use years, there's not enough revenue generated in those years also because our rates, our usage is down. And even at the high end where you're targeting more of that amount is down, and so you don't recover the loss of revenue. And so that's being baked into these numbers.
Correct.
In a lesser degree than if we didn't have.
But yeah, and the other thing we have to plan on in 2025, once that surplus water goes off, if we don't have another place to send that water and have people pay for it, we're going to have to make up that deficit as well.
Does this also assume that we're going to be following what Weaver Bacon puts out or is it?
We talked to the drought response plan is still kind of separate of this. So these rates are based on kind of normal usage or not restricted usage that Weaver Basin doesn't put a drought restriction on us. If Weaver Basin puts a drought restriction on us, then we'll follow our drought response plan like we did in 2022. So the 2023, those are kind of the standard rates, but if we get restrictions again from Weaver Basin, rates higher than that, then these will kick in to make up for the shortfall if we have a forced restriction. These kind of take into more account conservation and changing behavior, but nothing forced by Weaver Basin.
Thank you.
So here is what these proposed rates mean in terms of cash on hand. So as we talked about in the beginning, the goal is 180 days cash on hand. So these will maintain that, keep it at a really healthy spot, even through 2026, where it looks like it's dipping, comes back. We want it to be right there in that situation in that neighborhood. So a question on this.
Thank you. This might be a little deceiving because we do plan on start spending some of the cash on our new building. So those days impact the rate on today's numbers.
So just saying that if we didn't have the 552 rates that we had the problem, we would have to raise the rates to keep us at the minimum. This is a depletion over time on there, but the reason it's looking pretty good is because we're starting off in a very strong position. So is this a chart here that proves the rate that we're not really here to build cash up? Yeah. We're leaking it out over time.
That we're going to be spending it to reduce debt that we may have to get to build a building, to expand the treatment plant. So we're going to put these cash reserves to good use, and that's how we're going to deplete them over the coming years. We won't have the same amount of cash on hand. Part of it was because the huge impact fees are still in this number because we haven't spent those. So the $3.4 million we got in impact fees in 2021, we really haven't spent that money yet. But as we spend that on the treatment plant and on the building, these days the cash on hand will come down.
Any other questions for me about pastors?
I have a bunch of questions, but we're about all the way through here.
Okay. So this is the last slide. It's just kind of pointing out the free reserve funds the district has and also maintains that these rates will keep you in a good spot with your reserve funds. So we don't have to go into each of them, but you can see there, it talks about the rate stabilization fund, the regionalization reserve fund, and also the drought reserve fund. All have been taken into account.
Well, Aaron, maybe in just a second, the one slide that I didn't think about, we should put in there, was the ratio. Because we always talk about that it needs to be about 1.5 2.5. This does keep us above that. It gets a little tighter out in 26 and 27, but we can obviously adjust that. Since this will set our rate for 2023, but then we will still review them every year and update the model for usage patterns, growth patterns, and make sure that the 8% in 2024 isn't too high or too low. So even though we projected 5 years, we will still make a yearly decision on what we need to do with rates.
How much risk is there that we hit 1.25 in 2026?
We won't, because if we're trending in a way that 1.25, we'll make the rate increase a little bit more. But you don't want to. We tend to be conservatively, let's say, in this, in growth and usage, and try to make sure that that's the worst case scenario, and it should get better by the time you get there.
Okay.
Let's say.
Got it.
And Steve, you're using, as far as expenses go, you're using our budgeted numbers for 2023, and after that, we're doing 5% a year. So going into what we think 2023 is likely probably going to be less than that. So we're just, you know, it's a little bit of an unknown right now. We may do a couple of years pretty flat. So that obviously would change those expense numbers if those don't come in at the 5% we budgeted every year since, going forward.
So we've got a little bit of a conservative buffer.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And that's really the end of the presentation. So if there's any other questions.
So we get to review this every year based upon, we get to review this every year.
Correct.
And that's good, because obviously we don't know who's going to be Republicans, Democrats, or independents. We don't know who's going to be in office. We don't know the rate of inflation. It's just a bunch of factors that we don't know. So reviewing once a year or every year is really, I think, beneficial.
Yeah, we tend to hire like outside to come in and just double check, make sure the model's set and running well, every 3 to 4 years. And then we can kind of make those little adjustments on the yearly basis internally. But
did we make an assumption on what the inflation rate was this year? Well, we did this?
What we did is we looked at our expenses that we budgeted, which were impacted by the inflation rates.
Okay. I think that's about it for now. You have a lot of questions. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have one related to Joel's. So the model that is being used, is that originally made by Zions?
Yeah.
Okay.
They designed the model. We used that kind of between 19 through last year to tell us we didn't need a rate increase.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't had one for 4 years. And then they kind of updated the model. We added a few, they had done some improvements to it. We'd done some customization for us, let's say. And so we kind of merged those back together to kind of have a new working model for moving forward.
You answered my second question. Good job.
We need to require everyone to be able to see the future.
Joel, you'll lead the way.
Yeah.
We should lead the way.
No, you want me.
Any prediction on snow we're going to get this week?
18, 15, 18. Give it to Steve.
What's the next step on this?
We'll have a
vote to council.
We have a rate hearing scheduled for next board meeting where the public and council make comment. And then this doesn't have to go to council because you guys can approve rates. What goes to council is the budget.
Yeah.
And the budget is built kind of off of these rates. But yeah, the rate study and the rate setting doesn't go to council, just our budget.
And doesn't Aaron and Zions come back for the
rating? Yeah. And it'll probably be Susie.
It'll be Susie.
Okay.
If you're wondering how many rate studies she's done,
So she'll be back up next month, and we'll have a public rate hearing at the beginning of the meeting just to formally adopt these. And but in the meantime, we'll change the rates to show that per thousand, so it's a little easier to read.
So were we at this point 5 years ago when we had a rate and then doing what we thought it would be?
Yep.
About 5 years, and then in those subsequent 4 years, we elected to not act on an increase.
What we discovered is that because of growth, we were not having to implement a rate increase. We were able to generate enough cash for capital projects, and our debt covering, our debt ratio was high enough that if we would have had a rate increase during those times, it would have been just collecting extra cash we didn't need. So that's why we didn't do any from 2019 till now.
So we have our best estimate at this point. Do we think that something significant is going to happen over the next 4 years, given that in the past 4 years,
the one thing is going to be
the past 4 years. So we had COVID. Yeah. The last time we did this was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So I think
the capital budget was also not as aggressive back then.
Yeah.
To what we were planning to do.
But the 2018 Lisa.
Uh-huh.
What was the number? Projected number?
Oh, that... we had a projected operating expenses, cash operating expenses, I think of 8.2 from our 2018 study, and we're at 8.6. So we were far off. But we had quite a bit happen in between there with COVID, the huge growth, the huge impact fee numbers we saw. Well, the huge decline, well, significant decline. They went in half for the district, and then they, you know, quadrupled it from there and back down to a more number. So we've really seen a lot of big swings. We've also, we haven't experienced the weather that we are now experiencing. And that could definitely change the picture in the next 2 to 3 years, I think. Especially, I don't know if you all saw, but Weber Basin released 50,000 or 30,000 acre feet into the Great Salt Lake, or is releasing that much by the end of the year. So there's a huge, huge push right now, and you were on that call with the governor, to rehabilitate the Great Salt Lake. What does that mean for upstream users? That's a, you know, a great question you asked, Ian, and I don't know. So I think we've got some challenges ahead. I think we have some uncertainties ahead, and that's why I don't think we're comfortable adopting anything more than this year as far as a rate increase goes, because we've got some pretty significant things coming up. The other thing that I think is significant is the Bowman Collins master plan that they're working on. That's another significant impact that we're uncertain as to what that may tell us. So I think next year could be telling, depending on where the economy is going, what Bowen and Collins has to say about our master plan, how our office is looking, and what drought looks like next year. So, I mean, I've got four that are off the top of my head, and I'm sure there are probably four more.
Yeah.
One of the things that concerns me is more of a question, and that is development and redevelopment of the area. I mean, Heber's growing like crazy. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like 50%. And here's around 15 to 18%. It's still quite a bit.
So our impact fees have almost come to a halt. They were going really well. And then, you know, we get onesies and twosies, and the onesies and twosies that we get are pretty significant. But overall, things are slowing down.
Yeah. And well, from your mouth to God's ears, let me tell you, because we can't keep up this growth, whether it be Heber or whether it be Wasatch or whether it be some account, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, let's forget the fact that a lot of people are coming from Texas and California and other states. I mean, it's just freaking ridiculous. We're running out of space. So, but I guess my question really becomes, from a redevelopment in a way, what if they put all condos in? What if they put townhomes in? What if they put single family homes in? What if they increase the acreage, let's say 20 or 40 acres? I mean, if we consider any of that, in the calculations.
Well, that's the good thing about the model that Zions gives us. Is some will kind of keep it to themselves, but Zions shares it with us so that we can make those yearly adjustments. After what we've really seen.
That's really important. Yeah.
The
yearly adjustments. We don't know what the rate of inflation is going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good, and you guys are good, but we're not that good.
No.
So as far as any new projects coming on, we know Highland Flats is supposed to be going back to, well, the planning, right? They'll have a work session on that. That would be a larger project. We met with a developer about doing stuff over by Woodside, but that's not even on the drawing board yet. But any other significant project, we haven't heard anything. I mean, America Homes for Rent back there is going to keep going. But even I think you're seeing prices come down back there. The borrower can't, you know, who wants to borrow, you know, $1 million at 7%?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that's coming in the pipe that I can talk about is obviously the business center and the tech center. And Harmon's is going to come in. Now, Harmon's may end up building a lot of employee housing. I mean,
on site?
Damn near.
Is that area? Is that our customers?
No.
No.
Well, we need to be very, very careful. Because if they don't, I mean, they haven't come back to the set up a basic planning membership, but they will. Hopefully, the next month as well. We don't know where they're going to go. But I mean, employee housing is a problem throughout the county. Whether or not this Mountain Regional Water is involved or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, so it's still a big problem.
Sure.
I mean, the canyons is coming online, employee housing. I mean, there's a lot of going on. And I wish I knew. Well, what's coming down the pipe, and I know, and it's very frustrating if you can't plan.
And that's why we try to look out a couple of years, but we really are only going year by year. And
I think we're actually year by year.
Yeah. But Steve and Lisa, I mean, they're constantly in the numbers.
Yeah. All right, I'll be quiet. I'm sorry.
No, and I just think that the district's in a good position to handle what's ahead of it based on the cash that we have been able to reserve and put aside in those times when we had hotter weather, higher usage, high impact fees. So we're in a good position. We're not
at the same point. Getting water, we're in good position.
Well, but we have a drought reserve fund. So if, you know, we were able to not dip into that this year with
conservation. That's not water.
No, but I'm saying if we have reduced usage because we have reductions in water, that equates to lower revenue, which means we have reserves available to handle a revenue shortage.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate you coming up.
No,
we'll be in touch.
Yeah.
And get everything set for a month from now.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
No, of course. Well, he showed up in the polo and you all had suits on, and I would be the one.
Have a good night.
Cheers. All right. You guys ready for the budget? Karen got a sneak peek. She gave us some feedback, which was very helpful, but that's going to go through. Hopefully you had a chance to come and look at it. We'll hit the key points tonight. So just a refresher. So tonight we go over the tentative budget and the proposed budget amendments. And then we recommend them to council, and we'll go to council. Whoops, I'm going to have to do quick, aren't I? So then we'll recommend, you guys will recommend this to the council. We'll go on November 2nd and present. This is a tentative budget. Then there's a 30-day window that we can make changes, we can get public input, make any final changes, and then December 7th, right now, is scheduled that the county would adopt this budget, our budget for 2023.
So tonight, we're trying to get to
a recommendation. Get to a recommendation to send to some council.
We're going to meet this November 2nd meeting. Andy and who else?
Steve. You're more than welcome to come, Joel.
No.
Yeah, let me know if you guys want me. I've got it on my calendar.
So. Yeah, you're more than welcome.
Okay. So looking, when we start to plan the 2023 budget, we look at considerations for expenses, revenue. So the two that are really impacting revenue projections right now are the drought, because we've seen customers make changes to their landscaping. Some we've seen people, you know, conserve. So we had to kind of build that into the model and kind of try to establish what our new normal is going to be. Then the other is inflation, as Andy alluded to. Once interest rates started climbing, our impact fees basically stopped. We did like $38,000 in September, you know, which usually we do a lot more than that. So we went from being over budget on impact fees, because you know how we budget those out monthly, to now we're under budget because of basically interest rates. Yeah, it's slowing down something. To help mitigate those, we've talked about that. We've got lots of reserves that we've set aside. We've got a rate stabilization reserve we can use if we have to in a pinch to make sure we're never below our 1.25. We've got our cap reserve that we've been averaging over 300 days. And we've got our drought reserve fund that you guys helped set up, you know, last year when we took some of the regionalization reserve and put it in the back. So as Lisa talked about, we're well prepared to handle potential downturns. Factors impacting expenses, when you look at inflation in 2021, about 7%. Projections right now are nearing 9% as a nation. There is some evidence that it's higher in the Rocky Mountain states, Utah and Colorado in particular. And so Social Security is going up 8.7%, which is at least a baseline to work. If Social Security is going up that much, that means it's actually probably more than that. So, in 2020,
inflation, do you know within the district what portion of inflation is being? I mean, obviously, fuel is something that's going up. You know, take a look at the salary increases. It looks like we're going to be hitting around 15% on that. But power, I don't know, is there going to be a big hit on power next year? Because haven't the utilities kept the rates somewhat low, but that's going to change quickly?
There have been some, Questar Gas or Dominion Energy, sorry, has had a decent rate increase. I want to say it was 7 to 8% that I saw on theirs. Rocky Mountain Power, we have a built-in rate increase that's coming of 3% because of our blue sky.
The county solar buy-in with the solar farm out in Tooele.
The one thing that we have seen is because usage isn't high, power costs are not climbing like we would have predicted or budgeted for. We're well under our power budget for 2022. And we don't think, so we've taken a little trim off of those budget numbers for 2023 because we just don't think we're going to be pushing that much water. I mean, we have enough in there to push the water we're predicting, but we're not.
I guess what I'm wondering, when you're using the numbers like 7 or 9%, is that tailored to our particular business, or is that
that's nationwide
that's coming up? It's like a little lower than 8%, a little higher than 8%. We're saying with the amount, but it isn't in the actual inflationary stuff that would affect the district. And the reason I'm asking is because the stuff that might affect the district could possibly be higher than those amounts.
Well, I think you hit on one. Housing, the inflation rate of housing, right, in Summit County is higher than other areas for sure.
Hey, didn't you do an analysis though and pull some bills? Like chemicals, repairs. We went like down to the detailed invoice level.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought we found there was like, it was between a 10 to 15% increase generally outside of fuel, but you tried to drill down into those different areas.
When we looked at a couple of months ago, when we looked at the rate study, what we were thinking, that's what we were seeing is things that involve labor and materials weren't climbing at quite a faster rate because wages were still lagging behind. If we're just buying supplies, we were seeing a 15 to 20% increase in those. So yeah, there are some things that we're
seeing. I'm just questioning whether those numbers maybe could be higher for this particular business, because you take a look at the component of labor and fuel and electrical costs and stuff, and then the things that can keep it lower that we may not be involved with, okay, it could potentially be higher. And if we're wrong, we don't get any relief from that simply because we misestimated.
We do a budget. And I think that's what we're talking about. A lot of it sounds to me like is how do we deal with uncertainty? And I think the staff has put a lot of effort into, you know, what they can. But then I think we need leadership to and we make decisions if stuff changes.
I agree with you. I'm just questioning what
what's a better number though? What do you have a better one?
Higher.
I mean, I do think there are some things that were higher, and I think there are some things that are lower. So this is about where the averages come in on things. If water consumption is less, then our electrical cost would be less. We want to do a solar array to offset our electrical costs. So there's give and take along the way. We do understand the budget amendment process, but we don't want to come to you every month with an amendment. We try to save them, and you'll see some coming in a minute. And I think a couple of the other indicators that we're going to see is as we go out to bid for the tank up at Summit Park, where our cement costs coming in and things like that. I mean, yes, we think the year is slowing down, but as we go into building our new building, we hope we can take advantage of hungry contractors. So it's going to be a give and take along the way.
So the budget, there's several sections. So this kind of ties back to the report that was in the packet. You know, section 3, we kind of go over some assumptions, how we're building the budget. Then 4, you see some actual operating revenues and expenses. 5, the debt service budget, that 1.25 that always is talked about. Section 6, capital budget. Section 7, the budget amendments, the couple of changes we are making before we go to council in our budget for 2022 because of some things that changed. And then section 8, just a quick summary. So,
let me ask a question. Have you guys made any assumptions on turnover of employees and what it might cost us from a standpoint of what it's going to cost us to get turnover? I mean,
that has been a very heavily discussed topic, Joel, about the need that we can't afford turnover.
I know we can.
We've had people that have met and talked to, especially on the distribution, on the operations side. Our guys get talked to all the time. And we try to convince them that this is a good place to be. Everybody understands nobody's going to get ripped by working for a special service district. And that's why it's important as we go in asking for rate or wage increases that we get the support to show the people that work here that there is value in being here. And I think that's going to be a topic of discussion with the council.
Have we factored in how much we're going to be
We're going to present a couple of things later on about a couple of programs that we're going to try to get. Because one of the things with the district, there's not a lot of lateral growth, right? You can't be, you know, an executive operations officer, right? It just doesn't exist.
Right.
You're here 20 years, you're an operator, you might be a grade 4. So we have a couple of programs that we're going to ask you to support and allowing people to maybe earn a little bit more. We're going to have some expectations from the employees, but we want to have other opportunities for them as a way to hopefully retain.
Yeah. Well, right now, the 10% COLA and 5% merit, is that following county guidelines?
The COLA is, and we are asking for a little more than we understand the COLA of the county on the merit.
All right. So looking at consumption, we were talking about building the model based off of a smaller usage number. So you can see how usage has changed over the years, and then with the impact of drought, conservation efforts, drought surcharges, that we've gotten down to almost a third an acre of water per culinary connection, which is very low. So Lisa did a little work down here and figured out that if that average household had three people in it, we'd be at 102 gallons per day per person. The Utah regional goal is 200 gallons. So we're already, as a district, doing quite well on our usage per person, kind of thing. But so when we were starting so to give you a little idea, we knew this number was influenced by drought surcharges. We knew usage per customer wouldn't be this low if there weren't surcharges, but it wouldn't be as high as probably 2021. So when we built the model, we're kind of in this area between these two spots to build the revenue model. Make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
When we looked at the model that you guys used, did you look at the assumption that we're going to still be in a drought? I mean,
if we're in a drought and there's drought restrictions placed on us, then we'll kick into our drought response plan. And that has different rates and different, and a revenue model of its own, let's say.
I mean, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I mean, we really need to keep our eye on the ball on this one. Because let me tell you, this winter could be for shit, or could be a lot of snow. I mean,
and think about that though. Either way, weather hurts us, right?
Because if
we get a lot of rain or weather, people don't water. If we don't have water, we can't let people water, but we still have to maintain our debt service coverage and pay our bills. So each month, since I've been here, I mean, we look at the numbers, you know, how much revenue did we generate? We generated about $1 million just from people overusing and paying the drought tier, but we can't count on that. Is that a one-time anomaly? Are they going to continue in that pattern?
Yeah, what if it works and they quit using?
Right. So, yeah, that's gravy right now. And so we have to build that in as we do it, but it's something that we monitor. I mean, we review our expenses weekly, and we're looking at our revenues monthly and making sure that we don't have people that are out there too long. So
this is a
0.3 acre feet. That's what we're experiencing on it. But from a planning standpoint, we're still using 0.5, the long range planning.
We'll look at that when we do the pressure. When we do the impact fee or the IFFP and the impact fee analysis next year, we'll look at that. If that level of service can actually drop off of 0.5 acre feet, because that ties in with those more than this. But it could come down.
Water, ERVs actually going into an actual 0.3, and right off the bat, you're saying we could take 1,500 more customers.
Exactly.
And be where our planning is. But we're not trying to gin up business.
Yeah.
But there's other folks out there that are, right?
Yeah, that's where Sam and I will have our tug of war next year. They'll want to build projections for it to be safe on the engineering side using 0.5. I'll want to say, well, what if 0.3? And we'll go back and forth, but it'll probably come down a little bit.
And keep in mind too that our the amount of low usage customers that are paying base has gone up, you know, a lot in the last 2 years between community water and all the stuff back here. So the that is artificially driving down that 0.3. Because we've got more customers that just don't use water. I won't say artificially, but the dynamic is changing. Right. Yep.
So this is a good one to kind of look at how the surcharges work this year. We originally budgeted $9.52 million in retail water sales. We're looking at, we're going to come in about 9.47. We're going to be basically within 1% of budget. If we had put in surcharges, this would be a lot different story. We'd be about, as Andy alluded to, we'd be about $1 million under. So the surcharges worked kind of how we wanted them to work this year.
That's amazing.
That's great.
So next year, we're budgeting $10.55 million in retail water sales because that's the rate increase. That's basically the 10.8, 11% rate increase that's going in place to cover the charges we need. So we have increased customer growth, but usage, as I kind of alluded to on that last slide, we're predicting something lower than 2021, but not as low as 2022 to get to the 10.55.
You know, if when the development like Silver Creek goes in, there's a lot of density of living there, but nobody has lawns for the most part. But does the homeowners association make up for that? And
water that enough to make up for everybody that's in there?
They do water it, but it's not as much as single family homes. It's still lower. It still drops a per customer, let's say, number down.
We did have some issues over there this summer where landscapers were planting sod and they were watering in the middle of the day, or the Loomis Park was getting watered and it was a bog. But Anna and her team, don't mess with her.
Hi, girl, Anna.
So I'm sorry, this is a little small. We just need a really big projector in the new office. But on the left is connections, and on the right is impact fees. So you can see 2021, 434 connections, 3.4 million in impact fees. When we started for 2022, we budgeted 1.6 million in impact fees. Now the projection is 1.3. So that is one of the amendments we're going to make, because we just don't think we're going to get 1.6 now. We were on pace, but with the interest rate increase, we're not going to get there. For 2023, we budgeted 600,000 as impact fee, just to make sure we're not becoming dependent on those. Karen, when we went through this draft, I originally had 700,000. After some points she made, we dropped it to 600,000. Like, there's no reason to be aggressive on this. And we could see this come back to a kind of a post or kind of a recession timeframe. Like here, if we kind of enter into a recession, we could be only at 600,000. And or less. When you look at, when I was looking at September and preparing the budget, I started to freak out a little bit. But, you know, then Colony came in and somebody paid a $50,000 impact fee during October and I got happy again.
The other thing that could happen, because of the type of people we have here, I think people are waiting to see what happens. And then we've got people with cash that could go in and start and taking advantage of construction and costs being lower and going in with cash and getting some of these homes. That's kind of what happened during the last round. So that could be low if people decide to take advantage of where we are next year.
Yeah. So just didn't want to be reliant on those, because we've seen fluctuations even before all the fluctuations we've seen now. Now, the projected year-end balance for the impact fee revenue account is $5.3 million. So that's money that we've got in our store that we can use both on the office and on the treatment plant. So that's when we talk about having to pull out, do less debt, that's because of this kind of reserve. You recall, we've got a couple of those major water contracts. Mike, you asked about regional supply water. So this is what we're getting this year, 1.19 million. Next year, we get 1.24 million. That's a 4.5% rate increase that was built into the regional contract. It's the same 700 acre feet. In 2024, we dropped the 600 acre feet, and it's only 1.07 million. 2025, it's 500 acre feet and just under 900,000. We do not have any money on the Schedule B regional water supply to sell in 2026. So with this revenue stream ends.
How does the take and pay contract cash flow work? Does the balance come in at the end?
We bill quarterly, we're paid quarterly. Okay. Yeah.
I was just going to say, it doesn't mean that out of that five-year window, we couldn't put water back on the table.
Mm-hmm.
If we feel like, you know, maybe the growth isn't happening as quickly or people are using less. And, you know, maybe we do have a little bit of water to put back on. So I wouldn't say this is ending forever. It's just, this is what we put on for 2026. We don't have anything, but I could see potentially water getting put back on in 2026.
That's going to drill a really great well.
Is it 1 year notice to get back on?
We have to look at the five-year window. So every year we update the next.
It's a five-year.
Got it. Yeah. So it's kind of a year.
So we can update. We can't change 2026, but we could still change 2027.
Okay.
There's a way to look at it.
What's the cutoff for that?
End of the year.
End of the year. Okay. Thank you.
Park City, raw water, they have the 2,900 acre feet. Right now they're going to come in a little over 2,100 acre feet. Sam and I had some conversations with them. Three Kings is coming online, but they know they're going to be doing a lot of testing and phasing. So they said it could drop, but count on still pretty good usage out of us really next year. So that's why we're dropping. We projected We had originally budgeted $765 for this year. We're projecting $720, and for 2023, we're dropping it to $650,000 that we'll make, that Park City will pay us for the weeding costs.
Did Park City see any conservation gains that made that available?
I'm sure they did, but I haven't looked at it. I haven't looked at it too much. So,
and they're re-looking at their rates again.
So yeah, right now I think we're looking at like $1,900 and something is what I'm predicting for 2023 from Park City. So this is kind of, well, we've had this in before, but if we look at 2021, blue is our own customers, green is Promontory Golf, purple is Park City, and then the gold or yellow is Summit Water. And so you see from 2021 to 2022, we've seen a pretty big drop in our own customers, Promontory Golf. Park City is going to be about the same, and Summit Water was the same. Next year, we're thinking, we're predicting, projecting that it's going to go back up. Promontory is probably going to use a little more water and less of restrictions because they have the new pours, and they did definitely cut down their watering this year. Our customers, if you can kind of cross over that blue line, is very close to the 2021. The only difference is growth. Park City, a little bit smaller, and then Summit Water is the same 700. So just as an overall, how many acre feet the district actually sell each year, just to kind of give you an idea of how that's moved.
Oh, when do we get to review this?
You have to sit through this once a year, Joel.
No,
but do I look at this every month?
Well, what I'm saying is, sorry for the question.
No, no,
but what if things change a lot between now, the approval of this? Let's just make the assumption that we approve it. Do we get to review it every year and make changes?
Yes.
Okay.
And if we need to make amendments during the year, let's say something dramatic changes, and we realize we're not going to hit a number, we would make an amendment and figure out how to make up for that. Even mid-year, we don't have to wait till end of the year. But usually we can just wait till end of the year because the amendments aren't that big. They don't change the picture that much. And yeah, we'll show you those a little bit. Well, geez, I know this is taking long. I'll try to move a little faster.
You're good. You're good.
2020, so this is that 1.25. So in 2020, we're 2.05, 2021, 2.85. This year, we're looking at 1.74. We're budgeting 1.58. The reason it was so high this year is if you look at water sales in 2020, and they were almost 9.5 million, that was way above budget. That was the really hot, long year when we actually had water we could sell. The next year, if you look at impact fees, they were super huge. That's why that number drove up so high. This year, we're closer, let's say, to budget. So that's why coming in at 1.74. And next year, we've got 600,000 from impact fees, and kind of our numbers we're projecting to get 1.58. Again, not trying to generate more cash than we need, but what we do need is kind of the goal of this. Our cash position, the big spike here again was those impact fees in 2021. It's kind of holding flat right now. So it grew because of the big development collections in 2021, the establishment of those reserves, customer growth. But we're going to use them by decreasing the bond and debt needs for the office and for the treatment plant changes we make. We're also going to start a cash for grass program in 2023. I think that's the next slide. No, sorry, it's a slide after this. Personnel and compensation. So we are asking for one additional full-time person. The title would be project coordinator. It's to really support Sam as our district engineer with new development and asset management. So we'll start advertising. There is some interest internally.
We haven't approved it yet.
Oh, it hasn't been approved yet. If this is all about, that's later too. So only one new position, though, is what we're looking to, what we budgeted for next year. The COLA, you've all seen that, the 10% COLA, that is matching Summit County and what the other districts are recommending. Summit County presented a preliminary budget last week that had that in there. David Warnock is presenting next Wednesday to support that 10% COLA again. So we're hoping that all of us combined can get the county and the council to support that 10% COLA.
So the district, the Northwest Fire District and
Rec and Rec,
is that pretty much it?
Then the county as a whole.
North Summit Fire District, South Summit, they have a lot, you know, the mosquito abatement district. But as far as the local ones that we would be, that we kind of partner with, it's those big four. High Valley Transit will be its own district at some point too. It only has six people, but those are the main players in Park City.
And then kind of talked about national inflation rates. The things we're finding is that in the West, especially kind of resort communities are having higher inflation rates because of housing costs and so forth. Then we're recommending a 5% average merit or asking for that. The county has put forth 3. You know, just to keep our employees and keep them being able to live here, get here, it'd be really nice if we could do this, let's say, and keep our employees safe. That's not our only argument. I mean, there are true costs that we've experienced, but that's where we are differing from the county a little bit. Just
do you think we're going to run 5% for most people?
Yeah, we don't vary too much. I mean, if somebody's been an underperformer, quite clearly, you might see a little bit of an adjustment there, but it'll work out pretty close to that. I was going to say something else. As a dollar amount, 1% equals about between $35,000 or $40,000 all that's benefited, everything like that. So the fact that we're asking for 2% more than the county is less than $80,000. So it's not,
$10 million budget.
Yeah. So it's not a big portion of our budget, but it's just whether the county, how they feel about hearing 5%. The dollar amount between 3 and 5, you know, isn't that much really.
But. Yeah. And I guess when we talk about the cost of losing an employee, I can tell you it's much more than 2%.
Yep.
And our average employee earns about, what's the average salary?
Just a little over 80.
Is the average salary of our employee. So
there's another
$1,500
year end.
Yeah. And then the only other benefit, the county's adding a voluntary vision plan. If you want to pay into it, you can get kind of, we have vision coverage in our health insurance, but this is more like to get glasses and contacts and stuff. Anybody feel we need more discussion here? How do you feel about us going to the county? The county can change it. They can make it 9 and 4, you know, or whatever, but.
What about pet insurance? Can you offer that?
I think the county does.
It's a big deal for some.
See, and maybe that's a pet. Oh, pet insurance. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's kind of per your employment demographic. But for the younger people, it was, I mean, we're struggling with how to retain people. And it came up the other day.
We're just seeing. Lisa's had an idea of kind of, I think it's coming from the county, to kind of have a cafeteria or a buffet of choices you can choose. Because some insurances are more important, you know, whatever, you know, depending on age and things like that.
Okay, maybe you want to contribute, you know, you want more life insurance. So Mountain Regional could pay for more life insurance and somebody else wants pet insurance. So it would be like a kind of an a la carte menu that you have a dollar figure that we would allocate benefits to. And then you could pick, I want a vision plan. I don't want a vision plan.
I have a dollar.
And so I think that's. Generally, we try to align with, I mean, just because they don't feel close, they've aligned. I've talked to Jana. This might have been during COVID and before she got, taken over into the interim position. And I know she's interested in talking about this. And I've talked to David Warnock about it. They're in over their head with just turnover in general. So maybe if we get to take a little bit of a breath and we have, you know, someone, maybe it does slow down a bit. I think that would be a really great model to turn to. In order to help retain employees and really kind of let people be really flexible on what benefits they're getting and how they decide to use those.
Any other? So Andy and I will put on our best
convincing the council will present this, and if they come back and change it, well, you will obviously all know.
I think he had another slide. I don't know if it was on budget or not, but it had to do with the draft reserve.
That was foreshadowing. No response.
Thank you, Jim. Leading into my next slide.
Well, I think that how we spend the draft reserve is what you get.
It's the board is has been designated as the authority.
But it looked like
it's not the county council, it is just the board that can make that.
We had a plan to use it for some of the landscaping replacement.
Yes. So the drought reserve we originally funded with the $800,000 credit last year. We made about $6,500 in the interest on it. So we're requesting to reallocate $200,000 to fund a conservation effort, or in other words, the cash for grass program. So there are some programs in place from Weaver Basin and others. We're looking, we haven't finalized anything on this, but an estimated $1.25 to $1.50 per square foot to tear out grass that we would reimburse. We would limit the amount per customer so a customer doesn't take a big chunk of funds, so that more people could participate. So those are kind of the what we're thinking. We're thinking, you know, this is money that they put aside, you know, they paid in. So let's give some of it back to those who are wanting to conserve. And
the money we put aside came from paying customers.
Exactly. Right? So this kind of goes back to
customers. Not every paying customer has a lawn that they can give up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got a whole bunch of them around here that are paying, put into that pool, and then that money's going to turn around and pay someone to take the lawn. I just wanted to have a stake a little bit about whether that's where we want to be putting the drought. Should we be using that money for that purpose? I don't think it's necessarily a bad reason, but is it something that could draw attention that somebody else is paying to take out someone else's lawn, or someone might say, You should take out the line yourself.
But it's the same argument as you're asking me to conserve water, right? If I conserve but you overuse, am I conserving so you can overuse? But then I get to pay for it.
I'm saying that if you look at this from a global perspective, then is that the correct place to be putting the drought reserve money? Or should it come from some other source within the district?
I think it helps serve the district overall because those people are now using less water, and that's a benefit to the district as a whole because now we don't have to go and develop source. If they're removing grass on their own, they're reducing their consumption. That helps the district forever. So I think it is a benefit to everyone. And this is preliminary at this point. I think what I'd like
to think about it.
I agree. I like the fact that we're.
But I don't know about the cash for grass. It sounded like something's been legalized in the state.
This would be leveraging the Weaver Basin program that's already in place. They have to flip the strip. There aren't as many strips in our neighborhoods as could be found on the Wasatch Front. So that limits it already there, but I think if any dollars we can leverage with other grant funding, I think is beneficial. The state has also set aside $5 million for a turf removal program. The governor is currently still setting the parameters around that on how much each person can get and what the reimbursement amount will be. And that's not just for the strips, but that's just, you know, general turf areas. So I know the state legislature is promoting this type of effort. The governor is promoting this type of effort. So I'd like to join in on that if you'd be willing to just see a little bit of money. I know I have been in contact with Park City Municipal. They're setting up a very similar fund with a similar dollar amount for their customers to try to take advantage of this. So I don't have an exact program.
If I was somebody that was paying the minimum charge and was living in a place that didn't necessarily have the landscaping, I wasn't using much. I was put in the 0.3 acre feet a year that I'm paying on that baseline surcharge. to find that the money that's in the district is generating so much extra money that you can turn around and give someone a buck and a quarter or a buck 50 to take out their lawn.
I don't think that's the customer who's generally, that's the customer who's paying the fixed Weber Basin lease fees, debt charges. It's that funds, that 800,000 really came from all the customers that had been overpaying because of the 2020 summer. That's how, and regionalization, really, that's where it came from. It came from the regionalization reserve. So that was a benefit to customers that we then said, hey, can we take some of that and put it into this fund?
The 800,000, in my mind, is kind of funny money until you spend it. I mean, it's in the budget. It's in a line item. It's there, but it doesn't really exist until you're actually spending it on something. And even though you've got a reserve in there, if you spend $100,000, all of a sudden that's $100,000 in rate payers that have gone to a very specific.
Well, yeah. Oftentimes our customers ask us how they can reduce their bill. And this is an incentive to reduce the bill by removing turfs or other non-water-wise plants. So I think it is defensible.
But I think there's another customer that could say, you could reduce my bill by having those people take out their own lawn and not charge me so much that it runs up to $800,000. So there's an argument on both sides of that. So I'm just asking if you think about the unintended consequences. I think it's a decent program.
And again, it's not been done in the district before. We'd like to try it, and we might decide that it wasn't worth it.
Okay.
I mean, it's a one-time. Worst case, we spend it all.
And as somebody who doesn't have grass, I mean, if I saw my neighbors taking out their grass, I would applaud that and say, you know, they're finally seeing the light. You know, I think I would be behind this program.
And most likely their expense is going to exceed what they're going to get reimbursed. They're right. They're putting skin in the game. And you know, the other way I kind of look at it a little bit is the 800,000 that we're having to set aside is kind of treating the symptom. Putting the 200,000 in to actually remove grass kind of treats the cure, you know, the cause, let's say. So just a symptom. So just another, I mean, we could allocate this 200,000 out of the regionalization reserve if we wanted, but I think it's all kind of the same bucket. So it's all reserved.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think those people that are eligible for this that don't have grass, they are going to have a benefit that puts off having to do an importation project. So I think there's a direct benefit for everybody in the district. So, but I understand your point, and I could see how some people might not see it that way, but I'm all for it.
Good. Okay. So we won't spend too much time because we've done rate increase 3 in a row. So, but inflation, last increase 2019, 4 years ago, we hired Zion Public Finance to conduct the study. The projected increase is the 11%. And then the tiered methodology that we talked about, where it's not a flat 11%, it is tiered up so that this $1.80, well, base goes up by the 8%. And then $1.80 to 2, 454 to 520, and you can see it does step up as you get higher. But $35 is still very reasonable within the basin of what people are charging for the highest tier. So operating revenue, we're budgeting an increase of $1.06 million. Retail water sales will increase 1.03. So that's where most of it comes from. We are dropping Park City wheeling fees down because of the diminished usage, like we talked about. Weaver Basin regionalization goes up to 4.5% just because of the rate increase, the amount of water, and operating fees. We do have a lot of meter fees that have come in. We don't so they pay, but we don't recognize that revenue as an accounting principle until it's installed. So we've got lots of fees that were paid in 21 and 22. That they haven't installed the meter. So some of that will cover up, move over to 2023, and that's why we're able to budget a little bit higher there. So in 2022, we had a $12 million budget, and now we're just a little over $13 million that we're projecting as revenue for next year.
Oh.
You're on the wrong there.
Thank you. Non-operating revenue, so impact fees and the others, you'll see we budgeted 1.6 million. We're now projecting 1.3. We're going to budget 600,000, so we're budgeting a million less. The positive side of higher interest rates is we make more interest on our balance. So we are going to exceed our budget by quite a bit, and we can, and we're budgeting based on interest rates continuing up, and then the Fed saying they look to be holding them through at least probably mid-year to late next year before there'd be any decrease. So we will make more interest, so that will help. So we've got some bad impact on impact fees, but at least we make additional interest on our balances. Operating expenses, the big one to look at is the $665,000 increase, a 6.2% increase. So even though we're absorbing the COLA and the merit, we're actually being able to only increase our overall expenses by 6.2%. Part of that is, we're only adding one person. We're tightening a few things up. Like, we kind of over budgeted electricity a lot of years. We're kind of tightening that up because if we use more electricity than we plan, we're also going to have more revenue than we plan, pushing the water so they'll offset each other. We have combined several departments. We are seeing some slight decreases in treatment plant Lost Canyon. Just Lost Canyon in 2022, we had a lot of one-time expenses we had to absorb. So we could bring that back down to normal standard. The suction and discharge valves and some repairs that aren't made that often down there. Treatment plant, we've always expensed carbon and membrane kind of when we bought it. Our auditors, and we've been thinking about this for several years, said, let's start expensing that as you use it up. So it's not that you buy it and it's gone. You buy it and you use it over several years. So that's how we account for it. So what that means is we've expensed it all through 2021, and now we get kind of just, to, as we buy new stuff, we get expensed over time. So that drops that expense line for a little while. So that's why we're able to do a good COLA and merit and not impact the bottom line a whole lot this next year. The forming the administration department, we just had several little departments we kind of had to manage. You know, it's kind of strange. It was just, we thought it'd be easier to have it in one department and move that. So that's just, it'll make some reporting easier for us. But again, I think when we present, maybe I should change the order. If we present the 6.2% and then the merit and COLA, maybe that goes over better with the county. But anyway. So
back on the staff wage increases, is if we didn't have, we do have the burden of the county in the background, but if it was left up to just you and your staff, what would you be recommending to us?
About the same. I mean, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, what we are recommending is what we recommend, just based on inflationary money and what we're seeing.
Non-operating expenses. There was that interest amortization that we've kind of been dragging through this year. We're finally amending that out. So our amended budget is a little over a million. Next year, it's about 950,000, a little bit of a down. That goes down because community water, we took the funds we hadn't used of the 2.6 million. We didn't use about 300,000. We paid off part of their debt. So that dropped some interest expense. Well, we used it all to pay off part of their debt. We didn't do anything else with it. The other is that as our bonds mature, more goes to principal, less interest, just like your home mortgage. So that's why we have some interest savings for next year, or interest decrease for next year. So coverage ratios, kind of talking about that. So the 1.58 is parity. 1.49 is if we include all our debt. We still owe Weaver Basin some debt for improvements down at Lost Canyon and things like that. So the 1.49 still generate about 1.8 million in cash. We have to put 458,000 into a capital facility reserve fund, part of our bonding requirements with the state. And it'll generate, should generate about 1.4 million for capital projects for the next year. So we don't make a profit. It goes back into capital and things like that, just in that position. So there's always a plan to use the funds we generate. Capital budget for next year, we're asking for an additional allocation of $3.2 million. This is really close to what we asked for last year. Sorry, this slide is small. Let me just hit this column. So we're asking for another $380,000 for equipment to buy 3 trucks, a trailer, a side-by-side, and a water turbine for the Silver Creek tank well out here. We hopefully will have a little bit left over to, if we get a good opportunity to make some other kind of equipment or need another equipment purchase during the year, but that's at 380.
And just so you know, trucks right now are not available, and when they were priced earlier, they're about $10,000 per truck more expensive year over year. We're still waiting on one truck that we tried to order, budgeted for this year, that was ordered a year ago. It's still not available. So we don't know if we're hoping.
Yeah. What are we doing with Signal Hill? Is that the treatment plant? I can't.
Yeah, treatment plant is sometimes referred to as Signal Hill. We have $425,000 in the budget. We're not allocating any more money at this point in time for next year. They're going to we haven't spent all of that yet. So they still have about $285,000, I think, right, Sam, to build, to use on our resale program.
Possibly not everything that we had planned to do.
Correct.
And is that moving along and kind of figuring out what we're going to do as an alternative?
So we're
still in the concept stage.
We're still in that I kind of blew it when I put the brakes on it, saying we really need to look at sending water to Quinns instead of spending $25 million, especially if our usage is going down. We really want full capacity up there. And so we're working, Sam and I were working on a revised plan with Jacobs today.
But we're still going to do something to see.
We still need to do some optimization and some other safety things up there.
Yeah, we're going to scope, comprehensive optimization project so we can have an apples-to-apples. What's expansion look like? What's purchasing water from Park City and optimizing the
plan? And where does water quality fall in that whole arena?
So, yeah, we're scoping that and then hoping to get to work.
Okay. You'll see we've asked for an increase to the Summit Park tank budget as final estimates are coming in. They're going to come in a little higher, so we've had to ask for a little more money there. The pipeline replacement to the 110,000 line here, kind of the same thing, just updated estimates, a better number to make sure we've got enough budgeted for 2023 to get those projects done. Browns Canyon, this is a betterment we're going to be making so that we can take advantage of some work that Promontory is doing. But we're going to enlarge that line, pay for the increase in the line size, because it'll help us as a district later through distribution and on that side of the district. Good enough explanation, Sam? We are asking for another $1.5 million to be allocated to the office and land. This will pay, as we start into the architect, engineering, maybe even some preliminary construction. So that we've spent, we took the loan out. We'd allocate $750, we took the loan, we made the down payment, now we have the loan with the county. So this is just more money to help move that project along, the $1.5 million. Then we're gonna refurbish Sun Peak Well 2, especially because Spring Creek, we can't use right now. Because of under the influence, drinking water rules, so and so. And then some design fees on the tank and community water. I think I've got them all listed in the report. Another line replacement, just all the engineering fees that Sam will need next year.
So is Summit treating with Spring Creek?
No.
They're letting you go too?
Yes.
I thought they couldn't. That was critical in their water balance.
I was wondering if they were taking
it. Well, so, I mean, the state made them physically separate the source from their system. It is not possible for them to use that spring water. Okay.
They're still piloting pollution. Yeah, they don't have a pilot. So,
yep. Yeah, it's filling your ponds, the lakes.
Looking pretty fresh.
Mm-hmm.
We're meeting these. We did give it a lot of thought to replacing. I'll give some of Parker's example. I mean, there's a lot of leaks there. There has been. Branch Place is another one. But have we put enough money for replacement of lines that are, I'll just say, screwed up?
It's phased in. And one of the things that Caden has been able to help us with through the GIS is identify how much, when we presented this a couple of meetings ago, how much of the Summer Park deck we replaced and how much more do we need to replace. We have a call on Monday because we're trying to do the work up there in conjunction with the sewer district and the county so that we don't
share all the
backwards. But we don't want to put all of our efforts into this one part of the system, right? There are other parts. So over the next couple of years, hopefully we'll have a plan to pick things off as we can, but we can't control, you know, what Ian does in this neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is we need to obviously react very quickly to fixing leaks in general, whether it be some of the park or ranch place or some other place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to preach anybody, but I think we all know that these leaks cost a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
no matter where they are.
Yeah, I think if they remember the remaining today's dollar budget to fix the entire Summer Park area is over $6 million.
Just one last thing I want to comment on this slide is when you look at all the things we have lined up for this year, we're going to be hopping. Sam's going to be busy. You know, with the tank, the pipeline replacement, spine road. I mean, we'll, as Brown, solar array, we've got a lot of things on our plate for next year on the capital budget side. So,
should probably get a project coordinator.
I would say, you know, that's a good idea.
That's the next slide. What an interesting idea.
So, last couple of slides, then I'm done. Amended budget. So, as mentioned earlier, we're predicting we're going to come in a little bit under retail water sales and Park City water sales. We're going to make that up with operating fees. So we'll still hit budget for operating revenue. No problem there. We are going to show some cost savings over here. So we are going to do better than budget.
So I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay. So we're done with the 23 now, right?
We're done with 23.
This is
changing the 2022.
Yes, it's amendment to the current budget year.
So where we had the couple, we're thinking we're going to come a little under. We've got money we've made elsewhere to make up for it. We still end up at the same spot. What's different is we do predict that we're going to come in under expenses now. So we're going to do a little better than budget because of the expense savings we've had this year. Non-operating budget. So this is kind of the bigger changes. So you see the 300,000 we're coming under on impact fees. We're going to make that up with extra interest earnings and non-operating, other cash non-operating revenue. Most of this is inspection fees, 3% on all the infrastructure. And then there's the 91,000 that was not cash, but an interest amortization error I made that we're fixing in that too. So those are the amendments we will put forth with the county to approve. If you would
push I didn't understand. Can you go back to that, Steve? There were two parts. There was the first one, the slide before this was...
So this is operating budget.
Right, and we came in under there.
Yeah, we came in under there.
And then what happened on the other...
On this, we're going to be the same as we said. It's just not going to be where we said it was going to come from.
So it's just a reallocation.
We're not changing how much we're going to say we're going to make at all with these amendments. We're just kind of let them wash each other out. We do project we're going to do slightly better than budget, but we don't have to do amendments for that. And then on the last slide, just kind of a summary of 2022 and looking forward to 2023, the drought response plan put into action in 2022. That was huge. That effort had been done, that the plan, we followed it, it worked. That was great. We project our debt coverage ratio, we projected or budgeted was 1.65. We're going to, we're going to come in at 1.65. We budgeted 1.57. So you see, we're very close to budget. And then budget for next year is 1.49, still more than what we required. And you kind of see how the rates and capital will all work over the next few years. You know, the inflationary conditions are resulting in expense increases. There's no denying that. I mean, there's inflation pressures like crazy that we're dealing with in the budget. Fortunately, we had a couple of good things happen in the budget to help us absorb those, like I mentioned with loss pan and treatment plant. And then the rate increase proposed for 2023, that 11% that will roll out. So that is where the budget sits tonight. Thank you all for listening, putting through that all. And
great work. That's always under
kill. Really well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very well presented.
Thank you, Karen, for your insight and input and everybody else for being involved in that.
So I think we can read engineering.
Yeah, for sure. Engineers. Accounts and engineers. So I think we need a motion to recommend this as a tentative budget. Of course, for some
moves that we recommend.
Second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, so
unanimous.
Great work.
Job, Steve.
Quickly. Real quickly, I forgot that I even had September.
You're still up.
We stayed at the end of August. We were just under $1 million better than budget. We're exactly the same spot. The interesting thing is that customers, it's almost like they had fatigue of saving on water. Because I'm going to scroll. I haven't added your little line. But our revenue, well, because I did, but it looked funny. I did, but it looked weird. It's hard to, but how this purple line went straight across, very seldom do we make as much money in September as we do in August. As you'll see, it almost drops. But this time it went straight across because you know how we've been doing about 20% usage savings? In September, we're going 10%. So there was some fatigue, I think.
But it was also really dry, too.
It was really dry and August was wet.
Mm-hmm.
So
those are your other explanations.
So 20% is what we got at the end of the day.
20% is what we got at the end of the day.
Is it even possible to get to 25 or is 20 surprising?
Well, it depends on how much you let me charge people, Tim.
It's a message.
I think we would get more next year.
I think we would do more next year, too.
I think people have changed behaviors. I think it's been impactful enough that I think behaviors have changed. We completed the customer survey, we closed it, and I'll have results that I'll share with you next meeting. But we did have 120 people respond, which is pretty good for a district this size. And I know people are busy and the email fatigue, but one of the interesting questions is we asked if you had to make changes in your landscaping. Half said they did and half, or changing in their watering habits. Half said they did, half said they didn't. And of those 50% that had to make changes, I asked if they were, if they thought they were reasonable and allowed for your landscape to survive, maybe not thrive. And 67.6% said yes. So the majority of people said, yeah, it was okay. So I find that to be, I think that's good. I think people are making changes and they're learning what they can live with. And so that is just going to affect our budgets going forward, but I think we're prepared to deal with it.
But these badger meters that we have, they just read, right? They don't do anything but read. There's no way to curtail the amount of.
There's no throttle on
them. Yeah. I heard that there was a lot of these mass house heating, their little thermometers. And apparently on the web, those can be controlled to like keep the house temperature and a cooling and a heating condition remotely without even, I guess the owner must sign something on the dotted line that allows them to do this, but there was some sort of like
a third party control?
Yes. That it was adjusting the heat and the cooling without the owner knowing.
Well, that's interesting.
So I was wondering if the Badger. Not yet.
You're using too much.
They actually. Yeah. They will allow you to shut them off and turn them on remotely. Not the model we have, but they do offer it. Not necessarily a throttle. It's more of an on-off.
I think it's meant for like the
Lincoln. Yeah.
A daily maximum. So you're taking a shower.
You're not drunk. Today is. I imagine a day without water, too, by the way. Steve, you done?
No, I'm gonna go get a little dinner.
Okay, perfect.
Oh,
last month we had a committee get together and review the three architectural and engineering proposals. We thought we were gonna have more people respond, but we only ended up with three. The committee, and Tim sat in on that, chose CRSA as the firm, or a Salt Lake-based firm. You did see a presentation in your packet when they did submit the presentation to us. It was submitted in a redacted form and a non-redacted form, but they felt like they had some proprietary information in the presentation that they didn't want the public to see. So the members of the committee did see it. And so I would like to ask for the board's approval to enter into a contract to begin the design and engineering phase for our new office and maintenance complex with CRSA. Their projected costs and fees are 6.53% of the total construction cost. One of the other things that we are working on, and there's differing opinions on a CMGC, Construction Management contract. We have been in contact with the county about hiring a CMGC for the entire project, so we're not duplicating costs, so there's only one construction trailer representing all parties, so that's the direction. Our expert on the committee says we don't need to worry about that today, but once we get further along in the design and the plans, that is something that we should seriously consider. I think there will be cost savings to the district in doing that. Based on conversations with the county, they are maybe no further along than we are currently, other than the High Valley project. So if you've driven along the frontage road, you can see where the roads are being cut in. It's better.
Just below the salt.
Yep.
Yeah, that's our building will be back there.
It looks like we're adjacent to lot 3 and 4 when we share a property line.
High Valley will be our neighbor to the
west. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got a short common property line.
The budding property line, and we hope that that's where they're.
So that will be
west.
High Valley's west.
Yeah. West. So we hope there will be a common fuel facility there that we can use. Okay. That's the plan. So are there any questions on CRSA? Tim, I don't know if we have anything from your perspective.
Well, we interviewed them. They came in and went through a little bit of discussion. And I think that was after we told them that they were in one. So we had to go through a contract. I wasn't involved in the contract negotiations, so that must have.
So we had not. So I need the board permission to enter into a contract. There is a draft that Dave Thomas has reviewed. It's a basic standard AIA contract that they have not seen the red lines yet.
So can you explain is the cost just a fixed 6.whatever% or wherever we end up, or yes. Is it on the basis of where our square footage is right now and estimated cost?
I believe, and I haven't read the whole
thing. The reason I'm asking is because from an architectural standpoint, if they spent gold chandeliers and someone else is supplying it, then it's going to drive the cost up. But they haven't done any more work to just say it's going to be gold versus pewter. And yet, if we don't same as, you know, like just a basic square footage or something. You see what I mean? That there's some things that drive the concept that doesn't require them to do any more work and then take any more risk.
Yeah, and I wish Dave was here because we're going back and forth, but I think there's also a provision in there for cost change orders. There's some minimal upcharge for that wasn't necessarily contemplated. Like I say, Dave's down in St. George, if he'd be here. But
so that amounts to about $650,000.
Based on our projected $10 million.
And are we given the authorization to just negotiate to that amount or just negotiate the contract?
Negotiate to enter into the contract. And I can send you the contract if you'd like.
Yeah, anyone?
Yeah, Dave just has a new red line. So, if anyone would like to review that.
And we don't know if they have red lines.
They sent us the draft.
Did they have
red lines? No, it's the standard form. And Dave has like two or three red lines, but I'm happy to send that out.
You got to do the next step for this, right?
Yeah, and Kathy Whedon, who's the principal for CRSA, said it's about a 10-week period of talking about what we want in the building, because we gave him concept, but they want us to go and tour some facilities and see some other facilities, and then they can start drawing. We do have some money left over from the original budget that we did not put toward the land, and so we have money that we could start that now. Originally, I thought we wouldn't start until January, but we want to make sure that we can time our construction efforts if possible with the county.
And we came up with them by coming up with a scoring matrix. I mean, not everybody scored these guys first, but it's almost like ranked choice voting the way we did. They got a couple of first and most of the seconds.
It was ranked choice. And then we were able to score three out of the four areas subjectively. But then the lowest cost bid received the most points, and then the lower, the next one received like three quarters, and then the lowest one received a lower amount.
So those points were worth 25 or 30% of the total score.
Correct.
Right.
And I will say the difference between this CRSA and the low bidder was like 2 points. It was really tight. This firm did do the transportation building, and all three of the respondents have done work up here. This was the only firm that actually came up, met with us, walked the property for other buildings. I think they'll do a good job.
We want it.
So, are you guys familiar with them, or like, has anyone else worked?
I haven't looked at them.
I mean, all three of them could have done the job. They had all kinds of experience. It looked like some are bigger firms, and this one's kind of in the middle. Maybe there was one firm that's probably a bit larger, and one that looked like it was five people, and just like people in a contract.
Okay, so do we need a motion to approve the contract?
To enter into contract and negotiate.
Well, I move that we have the district go into contract negotiation with CRSA for the.
So then the other question is, if we can successfully negotiate, can you also authorize Karen to sign on behalf of the district?
And to have Karen
fund it?
Authorize.
Yeah, he's not wrong. I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It's unanimous. I'll be prepared to sign something.
Yeah, hopefully, like I said, I just had it late this afternoon, so hopefully I can get it to them maybe next week.
Mouse next year if you want it.
Lisa.
Oh, I don't think I need it. I think everybody is very familiar with the project coordinator job description and that it's a much needed position. So does anybody have any questions about the job description or the position?
Do you think that this is going to be seasonally intense, or is it going to be something that's going to be pretty much a constant level of effort throughout the year?
I think you're right. And I think there will be pickups on the development front when construction season is hot. And we've talked about that a lot in here, but then that has some other job duties to keep folks from the building. And that's a big part of the reason that we highlighted the asset management piece. Build and formalize that for the job description is one thing. I mean, there's a lot of other things and opportunities across departments that aren't formalized in the job description. That's a big highlight.
They won't sit idle.
I've worked with a lot of project coordinators doing really similar stuff, and it's pretty much field season and then prepping for next field season. Mm-hmm. They'll just be rolling 100% is my guess.
Is that why one of the qualifications is being emotionally stable?
Yeah.
All right. Well, does anyone have any questions on the position? And if anyone prepared to make a motion?
Motion to approve project coordinator job description as presented.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, so it's unanimous.
Thank you. Good going on that. The second item,
Gender.
Very minor. Revision to our personnel policies. We had an audit with the URS digital retirement system, which happens every 3 to 4 years. It's just compliance to make sure we're in line with their policies and procedures and Title 49 of the Utah State Retirement Act. And we had one finding where they wanted us to add some expand on board members not being eligible for benefits, because I think they've had some, you know, maybe some area that it's been gray and people have come back and wanted to try to receive benefits. So our board members have never been considered employees. They've never been considered eligible for anything under the personnel policies, but URS asked that we just make that change and add that sentence. So I added a sentence in the personnel policies. It was a one-liner. Dave Thomas approved it, and that's all I need to say okay, and I'll take it to county council and get that approved when we do the budget. And then I will get that to URS and we will get our audit finding taken care of.
But what this also means is we will be subject to a re-audit in the spring.
Yeah, that's just to make sure that we did it. And, you know, probably do something else, but so that's it. I just need your approval for that.
The last paragraph.
And Thomas have reviewed it and approved. Yep, they agreed. They said it was fine.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Motion to approve the amended personnel policy as presented.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous.
As we were looking at the calendar, time is quickly moving by, and you think it would be beneficial, or we're asking, we think it would be beneficial to move the meeting up a week other than trying to cram it. So it'll mean a shorter time period between our November and December, unless there's any objection. We can meet on the 8th as opposed to the 15th.
Will Steve have time to get financials, or will we just skip it for that?
Well, he has got Saturdays and Sundays that we can do that.
We probably won't have, because the packet's a week before, so I won't even have, I'd have to turn it in by December 1st or 2nd. So we'll have November, we'll have October's results in really nice fashion.
We can go ahead and send you that information once it's available. But just from a staffing and time of year, it just gets...
And there's not a lot of changes by then. It's the budget's
pretty It's pretty set.
It's
yeah.
pretty quiet.
Revenue is very predictable.
And then we have like three. So, but I show in the calendar, we've got the Weaver Basin meeting on
the sixth,
and then we'll have the county council on the 7th, and then we'll have the
busy week.
Everybody knows.
But that's it.
No way.
go.
So are we good
here?
It doesn't need any recommendation. It's just a, you know, a discussion item. If it's okay with everybody.
I already changed it in my calendar.
Yeah. Just taking a straw poll to make sure. Yeah, making sure people are good. Yeah,
otherwise, I was going to miss that meeting. So I'm thank you. I know. Yeah. You guys are awesome.
That's really why we changed
it. Well, I think close to Christmas and like all this stuff's going on and the kids are out of school. And yeah, so
yeah.
The kids are at school at 15.
Well, they're getting out of school that week and we have a lot of time. So we're going to Denver and then we're gone for the rest of the week. So yeah.
Like
family.
The other thing as we move toward the end of the year, we need to let Annette know. So Mike and Tim, their terms are scheduled to expire at the end of the year. You do serve until a replacement has been named, but just to think about whether you'd like to re-up for another four-year sentence for good behavior or...
No, I'll serve it out. To the spring or something like that, but I'm moving out of the district. I think I have to be a customer. But I can go to a loan or
building consultant. Yeah.
So you're not in by Christmas?
Yeah. But it was a limited pool last time, right? I mean, the county kind of struggled filling this position and they've struggled on other boards. So should we try to get ahead of that if we know?
Yeah,
if Tim has a date.
Now that we can't get benefits.
Tim's out.
You have to, since it's ending, you have to reapply because there could be others that would want to potentially, if the pool is big enough and Tim's only here until April, then they might appoint somebody else. So Annette was just asking if there was anybody, like, kind of what we knew so that she could alert the council and they'd know when to do those things and such. But,
let me think about it.
Okay. I'll let
yeah, again, if no one else applies by our bylaws, you continue to serve until someone is appointed. Yeah.
Forever.
Like,
yeah. You'd be hard to replace.
It's like Hotel California.
It's really hard to replace.
The other thing, Steve and I and Sam were out at the Water Users Conference in Vernal. There was some good information, good things, and then we're at, AWWA out in Vernal, and then we went to a water conference up in
Layton
on Tuesday. A lot of information was interesting. The districts that have drought plan and the districts that don't, it was surprising that some of the ones that did not have a plan, considering the size that they serve. Had some good conversations waiting for an SOQ on a well site study and possibly doing ASR. So we have a couple of SOQs coming in on that. Statement of qualification. Statement of qualification from a couple of engineering firms.
And did you know the ASR?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Aquifer storage and
placement.
Recovery.
Yeah. See, I can only play that. Which is an interesting thing. It's taking an aquifer and putting water back in it. But there's a lot of questions about if you do that, can you benefit from that? Retired to the aquifer or to someone else, what happens to water quality in producing water? So we're going to begin those phases as we look for stores. But that's good. One of the other things, the Laughlin study, we saw Bill Laughlin the other day. Hopefully he'll have our well study for us in the near future. One of the things that he reminded us of whenever we pull a pump, it's a good idea to brush and bale. Something that we hadn't been in the habit of doing, but as long as we're paying money to have everything pulled out, it'd be a good idea to go ahead and clean up and see if we can improve water quality and quantity. So those are the things that we've been working on.
We've done that a fair amount, though, in the past, haven't we?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Now we're going to be.
Now we're going to do it every. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's great. That's SOP.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I saw some pictures.
They are. And
that's usually like last resort. Yeah.
And usually the additional cost is not that great. So
for swabs, you like when you step up to like, yeah, doing an acid flush or full redevelopment, that's where it really starts to rack up.
Yeah.
Or just and, even CCTV, you guys.
That we're doing
video in the brushing.
Yeah. So we're trying to be smarter if we're doing these different projects.
Because then the video would tell you if you want to go to that next stage of like doing acid, like you've got calcification or something like that.
That is all I have. Dave is not here. I don't know if there's any questions on the department, Sam or Brian or.
Oh, I did for Sam. So the Kilby booster pump, it looks like we're over budget by about $50,000. And I just don't.
It's large level electrical
components.
Yeah. And yeah, I think.
My fault.
Well, nothing like that, but. Once we do the end of year wrap up and all the capital projects, how I'm going to write down how we did according to budget and what we told. So we'll wrap that all together in December. But yeah, it was significant. And it was just unforeseen electrical costs.
Yeah, it was a lot more complex than we had anticipated. And basically, the electrical was a complete redo from the service connection in. So.
Did anyone else have a question?
I had another for Sam. On the Bowden Collins study, any high-level thoughts, gut feel on that right now?
It's going pretty well. We're early, and they're still wrapping their head around the system.
Highlighted anything unexpected at this point? Or
No, it has been good to get outside perspective on the growth numbers that Ken Love been working on the most.
Okay.
They're taking, you know, they're using census data, which I don't think we would formally use. They're using a big data set that's put together by Centerville Basin, the Water Rec District as well. So we're taking that and then we're kind of going over it in detail and QCing it and hopefully getting a build out figure, which is something also we've never had. We've also, and all the projections in the past in the district, we've just kind of assumed a linear growth rate. We've never had a ceiling to actually come up against when we apply a logistic growth rate. We're getting pretty close on that. I think it'll be an improvement to the way we've done it.
Based on the plot of density in the district boundary.
We're only looking at, yes.
Yeah.
Folks that are in the district, annexed, or have a development agreement in place, like Promontory, to meet their allotment. There's obviously a number of subdivisions still to come in Promontory.
That's in the graph.
Yep. So we're not talking about absorbing one shift. Yeah. Things outside of our control. I mean, we're going to get those curveballs, obviously, with annexations. And when those come at appropriate interval, we come, you know, take a step back and do the master plan.
Well, one of the good things with Bowen Collins, too, is they know the Summit Water. They've done Park City work. So they're just kind of putting the last piece together. So they're able to bring that information with them.
Yeah, they're currently doing Park City's master plan update, like, actively.
It's good synergy.
Yeah, the first blush with the growth numbers, though, both about Sam and Brian and I were gobsmacked. Like the,
we knocked on
it. Yeah, I mean it was like what?
Why was it so high?
Some of it was data. Some of the sewer district stuff is based on sewer connections, right? So it's places like the Preserve and Stagecoach, which are septic. They're considering future growth, but we're already kind of saturated in those areas. So there was a lot of correction based on that stuff. Yeah, we know what the total density in Promontory or Silver Creek Village or the Colony are going to be. And so we had finite numbers, you know, way better than what they had. So, yeah.
And we formally check in with them monthly. We have a scheduled call.
Right on. Thanks.
Yeah.
So in your report, Chris, in section 2, you said something about septic system water users are using more. I don't know.
That was sort of what I was alluding to. Yeah. So the count, they were using like customers that are connected to the water system already, but could be potentially future sewer customers. So say like the preserve, and most of the stuff on the North Ridge is where that really comes from. All those plats have language in them that the sewer district can come in and make them all connect to sewer because currently they're all septic. And so that's, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Quite a few hundred lots that are up there that we're already serving.
Right.
And so it's not growth for us and they didn't have that quantified at all. So.
Got it. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I have a question on Tollgate Canyon or Pine Meadows. Anything going on there or that?
No, Pine Meadows is kind of at a standstill right now. They still have to install a vault, but the cost that came in was way off there. So we're going to redo that in the spring.
The engineering study is still going on.
Yes.
Trying to
wrap that up into the year.
All right. And we anticipated anyone in the next budget cycle, just in case. Have we talked about that in the budget? Adding
Pine Meadows?
Yes.
They have a contract now to buy water from us. That will run for about 4 more years now. And so annexing them again will not become an issue or a question for about 4 years.
That's a good one. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And then 13, I didn't have on my
printed version. Yep. So it's something we've been working on. It's the Amerisco was the. Top respondent for the solar array, working with them and with Dave Thomas over this last month, we've kind of gotten to a point with a contract that we think is workable. So we'd be looking for a recommendation from the board to enter into this contract with them. How the contract is written right now is that there's funding phase, basically. So we will spend, it's about $61,000 with them to get through some preliminary engineering drawings and get through the funding part with Blue Sky, with Rocky Mountain Power, and to delve into what other possibilities are out there to come up with funding. They're very aware that we're looking for a 10-year return on investment on this, and we don't want to go out any longer than that. So that's going to be kind of the first off-ramp. And then the second one is, if the funding does happen, there's another approximately $75,000 that's slated to go for final to get to the like 90% plans to be able to get actual costs for all the infrastructure parts, the solar, the, you know, all that kind of stuff, the panels, the electrical side stuff. So we'll see if that pencils out again at that point. And then if that goes, then we go ahead with the construction component.
The total contract amount was put in this contract, and then I think there was reference made to the proposal, which was
D. Mm-hmm.
And they must have a fee structure there. Is there some kind of a hold point that is understood in our contract and their contract? I mean, are we issuing task orders that limit the amount they can spend up to?
Yes. So task one is to get through the funding component, and that's the 60 in round number 61,000. Task two is to get to the construction documents.
But are we writing a task order, or is it just defined in the
proposal? It's in that attachment D. In there, it spells out those tasks in it. That was their proposal with their costs given to get to that point.
I guess what I'm asking is do you have like a notice to proceed on a task basis worked into the proposal?
So it's a two phases to, first of all, chase funding, because it's really contingent on it. And it's also to solidify the engineering and do some other study of the pond, the bathymetry of the pond. So our total exposure, potential exposure to this project right now is about $136,000 out of the 1.3 So we didn't want to commit to a full contract without knowing can we get funding, and if we can get funding, what is the amount of the funding? If we get can get partial funding as a district, we want to then pursue other sources of grants or even go for 0% loan if we think this is a benefit to the district. So this gets us to the point where it solidifies the project from a financial grant perspective and an engineering. And then at that point, if we decide
there was task one, we get what's the task one amount?
61,000.
So we're into this for 61,000 no matter what.
I mean, right.
Project
And both phases of that, about 136,000. That's right now what our exposure would be. We have $378,000
already budgeted
for that. So that right now is what our exposure would be if we decide not to go forward with the project.
Is this an engineering or a technology project?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Which hat, right?
So do we need a motion to go forward with this, or?
Yes, it would be to enter into contract with.
We need your signature.
Yes.
And that's one of my other questions that unfortunately Dave isn't on, but the contract does not have your signature on it. It has Andy's on it.
I think currently, you can authorize Andy. The board can authorize Andy to sign.
Is that how that would work? Okay.
So 61,000?
The 130. Yeah, the 136.
Yeah. But there is an off ramp after task one.
Yeah, so they call it milestone. So there's milestone one, 30% development. And then milestone two is the 100% development as far as meaning plans and funding secured. So milestone one and two combined are 136.6. Milestone one by itself is 61.5.
50.
Yeah.
50. So it's already in the board have Andy would sign the contract up to 136,000, and then if we go to task three, then Karen would have to go through it.
It would come back in front of you again.
Okay.
Yep.
So the motion would be to approve this contract and allow Andy the signature authority for task one and two.
Correct.
Yes.
If it wasn't, I was going to say so moved.
Well, excuse me. If Dave approved it to form, then.
Yeah, I think you just authorized Andy to sign.
Yeah.
The board does.
I'll second it then.
There okay. All in favor?
Aye.
I was just down there the other day. The guy came out of the building. That need to make sure I was legit.
You weren't sneaking stuff in the recycling bin?
No, we actually have a living that's a lot that's like, adjacent to it. So I had people out there taking thrown and,
Sounds like the system works.
Yeah, so.
But you walked over to check it out?
Well, so they walked over to make sure, I guess, I was loaning the building and the nefarious purposes.
Got it.
They weren't going to go swimming in the pond or
anything. Right. Okay. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
We adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
All right.
Okay. I'll see you guys next month.
Yay.
Thank you.
Jeez.